Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles. Jonah, will you turn there? Book of Jonah, let me read just two verses, maybe three. We'll have a word of prayer. Jonah is the first and earliest of the minor prophets, written 60 years before the Assyrian deportation. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning. We pray your blessing upon the word of God. I pray that you would breathe life into it so that we can just give us, it's alive. Give us ears to understand it. Lord, give us a heart that is open to the truth. And we pray that today your Holy Spirit would take Holy Writ, would take the Word of God and build us and convict us and encourage us. And Lord, make us more into the servant of God, more Christ-like, the way you intend us to be. Help this church to be the New Testament local church that we are called of God to be in the middle of the Eastern Upper Peninsula. God, may we sound forth the truth. And Lord, any unsaved people, any people that are not born again, not sure of heaven, may they understand today you are the only way. You are our only salvation. And God, we pray for the salvation of their soul today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You might remember the story of the lion going down the jungle path, and he come upon an anteater, and he pounced on the anteater and held his shoulders to the ground and roared into his face, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the anteater said, "Oh, you are, mighty lion. You're the king of the jungle." And the lion got up, let him go, and trotted down the path, jungle path, a little bit further, feeling good about himself, and pounced upon a zebra and held him down. He yelled out, roared out, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the zebra said, "Oh, you are, mighty lion. You are the king of the jungle." And the lion let him go, and trotting down the jungle path, he pounced upon an elephant and yelled, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant took him in his trunk and slammed him on the right on the ground and slammed him on the left on the ground. And the lion got up, dusted himself off, and said, "Just because you can't remember, you don't have to get so rough." Sometimes we forget who's the king. And he's not just the king of the jungle. He's the king of the earth. He's the king of this solar system. He's the king of this planet. He's the king of the universe. In fact, he's the only king of kings and lord of lords. And he's got a plan for your life. And he's got a plan for my life. And before we get into the book of Jonah, I want to ring the bell here, try to bring it to where we need to be this morning. I trust and pray that you'll have some understanding concerning this. Jonah, of course, we know is the Old Testament missionary, the Old Testament prophet that was running from the call of God on his life. I'm sure probably everybody in the auditorium knows the story of Jonah. I remind you this morning, there is a will of God, there is a plan of God for your life as well. Some things are obvious because we have the revealed will of God, and you can't run from the known will of God. For instance, it is not God's will that you're involved in the sin of adultery. It is not God's will that you be a cussing Christian. It is not God's will that you be involved in perversion, whether it's homosexuality or lesbianism or liquid sexuality, whatever. That's not the will of God. It is not God's will that you skip church services. I can show you that in the Bible. It is not God's will that you commit murder or that you become a gossip. It is not God's will. We have the Judeo-Christian holy word of God that's given to us so that we can study it and we know what the known will of God is. Let me step back one step. It's God's will you get saved. God's not willing that any should perish. It's God's will that you get baptized, that you follow the Lord in the waters of baptism after salvation and identify with Jesus Christ. I can show you multiple passages of Scripture. I can tell you God wants you saved, and I can tell you it's the will of God that you get baptized after you get saved. And I can also tell you it's God's will that you study the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. It's God's will that you have a prayer closet. It's God's will that you have outreach, that you're reaching your neighbors and your loved ones, and you're telling them about Jesus. These are the absolute known will of God for all of our lives. That's just the way it is. It's written and recorded in Scripture. Now, there are things that I don't know what the will of God is concerning your life, and I can only know my own. I don't know if God has called you to preach. I do know that God has called you to be a full-time Christian. I don't know if God has called you to be a missionary. I don't know if God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher. I don't know if God has called you into the work of carpentry, law enforcement, housewife, builder, engineer. I don't know what the will of God is for you. That is for you to find out as God leads you in your life. But I know this, it is the will of God that you be surrendered to Him and you be that full-time servant of God. We are called of God. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Man, I can't tell you what that is for your life. I can only know what it is for my life. But we have the revealed Word of God, and so I know right and wrong. I know what God would have for His New Testament church, the church in which we are a member of, right here in this church age, right in the latter days. I can spell it out. It's all spelled out for us. I can show you what it is. And then there's the day-to-day will of God. And that's up to you to discover. But you'll never know it apart from the Scriptures. You'll never know it apart from the Word of God. One old preacher, I think it was Ron Comfort, that said this: you cannot know the will of God until you've read the Bible through for your life. I think, man, that's pretty strong. I think it's factual. If you're not reading the Bible every day, how is your life being guided? By the news? By the culture? By your peers at work? You've got to be kidding. Let's go back to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. So God is calling Jonah. Jonah is a patriot. He's a child of Abraham. The Ninevites are wicked, evil people. They were pagan people. They were a child-killing people. They rejected Jehovah God. They were a bloody people. That sounds like America, doesn't it? It really does. They rejected the truth, the revealed truth of God. It was like, pick your God, pick any God you want, you serve Him and do your own thing. That was the Ninevites. And they were a butcherous people when they went to war, a very warlike people. And they'd been bad to Israel. And Jonah wanted nothing to do with the Ninevites. In fact, at the end of the book, we may not get that far because I'm just going to kind of briefly go over everything here this morning. At the end of the book, he looks up to God and says, I told you they were going to get revived. I told you they heard the truth that they would get saved. And of course, he's feeling sorry for himself. And if God can bring revival to Nineveh and the Assyrians, He could do it in the United States of America today. Everything that the Ninevites were, the Assyrians were, that's where America is right now. And God has called people to this day and age in which we're living. That's us. That is us. If you got born again, and you're a member of the family of God, and you're saved by grace, a God-forgiven people, saved by grace, a sinner, saved by grace, what are you doing running from the will of God? Amen. You're no different than Jonah, and you can't run fast enough to escape God. Man, you can't run far enough to hide from God. You can spend your life. Here's what a miserable Christian is. Last Sunday morning, I preached a piece of the message I wanted to preach, and this morning I'm going to preach another piece of it, and I'm just going to kind of set that message aside. I think I'm off of it after this morning. How to be miserable. Here's where a lot of the New Testament church is today. Saved. Born again. Man, I'm saved by grace. Some of us, we even stepped forward and we got baptized. And we followed the Lord in the waters of baptism, death, burial, and resurrection. What a picture of Jesus. I identify with Christ. Now I'm a member of the church. And I spend my whole life running from the will of God. I spend my whole life like a fugitive, looking over my shoulder, wondering if God is catching up. And when's the hammer going to fall? That'll make you miserable. That you'll be that that conundrum that I preached on last Sunday morning, where you vex your righteous soul every day of their life because you know you're not in the will of God for your life and you're running from Him in happiness, it's elusive. The joy of God, it's far from you. Verse 4 says, but, boy, that is a big conjunction right there. Big word. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. It's a bad storm. Jonah is running from God. That is a fool's errand. You cannot outdistance God. God is not a respecter of persons, wants everybody saved. He looks down from heaven and he sees the wicked Ninevites. He says, they need a chance. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about the Lord God Jehovah. Jonah, you're the man. You're a mature Christian. I'm calling you of God as a prophet to go to the city of Nineveh. Jonah says, no way. He buys a ticket. He heads to Tarshish. He's on the ship. And the Lord sent a great wind, a mighty tempest. Verse 5, by the way, there are big storms coming in your life if you're running from God. Bigger, so big you won't think you'll survive those storms. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth, very superstitious, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay fast and was fast asleep. Part of the reason for judgment in America is the church is running from God. The church is filled with children of God that are asleep. And there's a storm going on all around us. And people are crying out for the truth, those mariners. Crying out for the truth. And if we would just tell them, if we just explain to them who Jesus is and what he does, what he's done. When I was growing up, we would think, well, everybody's heard of Jesus. That's not the case anymore. That's not the America that we're living in, Grandpa. Grandma. The boys and girls out there in the public schools and in the streets and in the highways and the hedges, they don't know anything about Jesus. Amen. And for some of them, all they know about is a Jesus that they've made up in their own mind. Or maybe mommy and daddy told them about it, and it has nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible. There's so many out there. I'm telling you this because I know it to be true. If we would explain the Christ that we worship, our Savior, so that they could get saved, they'd get born again. There are many people like that. They've never heard Chuck Koshel's in heaven. Amen. Every Sunday after church, not every Sunday, but time and again, he'd come out and he thought he was being funny and he'd give me the little lifesaver, you know, and then he'd say, that was a good sermon. That was a good talk on Noah's Ark. And I didn't preach on Noah's Ark. It was nothing to do with Noah's Ark. And the truth is, the generation that we're living in knows more about climate change than they do Noah's Ark. That's a fact. Don't think they all understand and they're rejecting. Some of them have never understood. Right. It's not that they're rejecting, but they go to hell just the same because there's only one way to heaven. That's right. That's why the church is here. Well, okay, let's go on here. Verse, they cast out lots, and you know that. And it says, verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast out lots that we may know whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and surprise, it fell on Jonah. Can't run. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And where did you come from? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm an Hebrew. Boom. I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He said, I'm a child of God. I serve Creator God. Verse 10 says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this thing? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee and that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Would you just hold on. Let me keep your attention and let me read a bunch of verses here. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I wonder how much judgment is falling on your world, and my world, personal world, the people that I know, because we're running from God. How many of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and peers and co-workers and cousins and uncles are groping in darkness. That's right. And facing storm after storm. Amen. And we know who the lifeboat is. Man, I mean, we know what it's all about. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, and they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beg thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." Now these people are praying. These people have more fear of God than Jonah has, and so they took up Jonah. And by the way, that's the kind of people that are ripe for revival, ripe for the gospel, ripe for hearing the truth. So they took up, and I know I'm kind of beating this mule here, but there are people all around us that are searching. What is going on? What is happening to our country? What is happening in my life? And they have no answers. And you live right next door. They took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceeding and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. The greatest revival that we have in the Word of God that's already taken place is this revival that takes place in Nineveh. And it starts with some ungodly sailors out in the sea. Verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now chapter 2, I'm not going to read it. He repents. That sounds like a good thing. Oh, let me backtrack. This is how you'd be miserable. Number one, you run from God. You won't succeed, but go ahead and run from God and be the fugitive. Waste your whole life looking over your shoulder. Run from God. Number two, refuse to believe that your personal sin affects others. That somehow your children are going to be the exception. That somehow your loved ones will be the exception and your sin will not negatively impact them concerning Jesus Christ, them getting born again, them following Christ after they get saved. Everybody's the exception. I've never talked to anybody ahead of the problem except they believe they were the exception. And I want to tell you, nobody's the exception. Jonah was miserable because he ran from God. Jonah was miserable because he went to sleep and he refused to believe that his sin would affect other people. And of course, it does. Somebody's watching you. Somebody that is searching for the truth is watching you. Maybe they're already born again and they're wondering whether they should sell out to Jesus. Is this New Testament Christianity thing, is it the real deal, or should I go ahead and just live my own life and make money and get things and live for myself? Somebody is watching you. Your sin affects other people. No man is an island. No man lives unto himself and dies unto himself. You understand, you have a world, you have a sphere of influence, and people are looking up to you. You say, "Oh, I'm not much of a leader." You are to some people, and they're watching you. You don't go to church on Sunday night, they notice. Yeah, oh yeah. They told, yeah, look, well, must be something going on in their life. They're not going to church tonight. Car's still out there? Yeah, car's still out there. You know, you impact people. No, Jonah cries out to God from the belly of the fish, and God is always there for the repentant sinner, but Jonah's got a problem. He isn't repenting of his sin. He's repenting of his running. Jonah's sorry he got caught. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 3. You know, he's sorry he got, he's begging and saying, "Oh God, deliver me. God, deliver me. I got caught. Deliver me." But there's really not a change of heart. He goes on and he preaches in chapter 3, and he didn't want them to hear the message. He doesn't want them to get saved. He doesn't want them to turn around. And of course, that bears itself out. Look at chapter 3. I want to say this at least one more time. No, Jonah is sorry he got caught. Jonah is sorry he couldn't outrun the long arm of the Lord. But his heart towards the Ninevites hadn't changed. And so that really isn't a repentance and asking for forgiveness of sins. And as a matter of fact, it's a pitiful brand of following the King of Kings that is a narcissist, that it's all about me, and it's all about what I can get, and the blessings of God that I can have bestowed upon my life and my four and no more. And the rest, hope you get saved. Man, I hope you make some good choices. Don't follow me. You know, you kind of do your own thing. That's a pitiful New Testament Christianity. Is that why America's in the condition it's in? Is there a more narcissistic country than the nation in which we now live? self-absorbed, all about comfort, all about what can I get out of life instead of I want to serve the King. I surrender. So he's rebelling against God. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Now that's a wonderful, it's a huge city. If you travel 20 miles per day, the city is 60 miles across. A huge city as far as population. We're told that there's 120,000 that don't know their right hand from their left hand. Let me call them babies, and then you're going to have kids besides that. You're going to have teenagers beside that. You're going to have two parents for every family. You're going to have single adults as well. Easily could have been 500,000 people in this city. And it was a warlike city, but man, they were ready to hear the truth. This preacher gets puked up on the land from a giant fish. He's all bleached out. He's mad. He's stinky. He stands up, walks through the streets and tell them they got 40 days. God's going to judge this great city. Man, it's coming down. And the king of the Ninevites, he calls a fast. He commands everybody from the biggest to the smallest to repent of their sin. Call upon the God of Jonah. Maybe God will hear our prayers. Maybe he'll spare this great city. And the greatest revival recorded in Old Testament history takes place there in the city of Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He pouts. He said, man, I'd be better dead. God, I knew this was going to happen because you're a great and mighty God. I knew that if I surrendered and I went and I preached the judgment, a coming judgment of God, I knew those rascals, those sinful Ninevites, they'd turn around and they'd repent and you'd forgive them. I knew this was going to happen. He hated the Ninevites. And now he hates life. And he wants to die. And God reprimands him here. You want to be miserable? You run. You run from the will of God. Man, if you're not saved, get born again. Quit your running. If you're not surrendered, surrender. Get baptized. If you're not studying the scriptures, open your Bible. Quit bouncing through life and become a student of the Word of God. I've been studying it 43 years plus Bible college and all my education. I still don't know the Word of God, man. I'm like a baby. Sometimes I open it up and say, whoa, I never saw that before. And it's right there. And there's no inconsistencies. There's nothing in the Word of God. And God is absolutely consistent. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of truth, that needeth not to be reproved. I didn't get the verse right. But you study, it takes work, you get into it, God bless you. And he'll reveal his will for your life. Get saved, get baptized, get faithful, crack your Bible open, get a prayer closet. Get serious. You'll run from the will of God, the day-to-day will of God. You'll run by accident because you won't know what it is unless you're reading the Word of God. This church has got to be all about this book because this book is all about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't need to be about, this is not Tim Rader's church. Periodically, I've heard that. God deliver us from that if that ever happened. This is not Tim Rader's church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't follow the whims of Tim Rader. We follow the Word of God, Holy Writ. There'll be a problem if you set your Bible down. I'm going to close with a poem that if you were here at prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, you heard Brother Strange quote this poem. Read the poem. And man, it was powerful. And we've had some great preachers here of late. And I thank God for Brother Strange and Brother Wagner, and who do we have? I don't remember who they were. I can't even remember last week. But Brother Strange from Fort Myers, Florida, he read this poem on a Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed it. But here's the story behind the poem. Corrections officer doing his rounds. In fact, he said the 4 to 12 shift. I was in O-Dorm. This was down in Florida. Everything was very quiet as I made my rounds, looking from room to room, making sure everything was all right. I came to a cell and there was an older white-haired man. His head was bowed low as he was sitting on his bunk. And he had a book open before him, and I looked, and lo and behold, it was a Thompson Chain Bible. I jokingly said, "Remember, or knowest what thou readest?" And he said, "Preacher, sometimes I wish I didn't." And he told his story. He said, "You're looking at a God-called man. I was once a Bible-practicing, Bible-preaching Baptist preacher. I've lost the church, my family, and my freedom because I became backslidden and thought I could get away with it." He told me something I'd heard from hundreds of inmates before. "Preacher man, it all started when I put my Bible down. He said, I want you to tell this story everywhere you can. And so a preacher wrote this poem. There was a man of God who sat in a prison cell. He had preached the word of God. Everyone had known him well. Now he sits with his head bowed and he hardly makes a sound because one day he decided to put his Bible down. His cellmates, they all wondered why to prison he did go. If he had done his best for Jesus, why is his head so low? They asked, why are you here, Christian? As they gathered round, the man then told his story. I put my Bible down. I thought that it was harmless to skip a day or two of reading my devotions. I had other things to do. Then my new nature grew weak and the devil came to town. I could not win the battle because I put my Bible down. I did not know how to fight him. I did not know what to say, for I had not read God's word or took the time to pray. And I went on serving Jesus. How godly I did look, but I did not have the power that comes from God's dear book. So now I sit in prison, an inmate just like you. My reputation all ruined. My preaching days are through. That is why I hang my head and my face wears a frown, because I regret that day I put my Bible down. Oh, Christian, hear the message from this man's prison cell. There are children who need a leader. There are sinners going to hell. There are blessings to obtain. We must win the victor's crown. May you never have to say the words, I put my Bible down. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we bow our hearts before you right now. And God, we ask that you would work in all of our lives at a personal level. Help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. And Lord, we pray for victory. Victory over sin right now. We pray that some of the wiles and the plans and strategies of the devil would be thwarted this morning because of a surrendering of God's people. Is there someone here this morning, you'd raise your hand, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm born again. I'd like to get saved. Now, before you answer that question, there are a lot of people that don't know. There was a lady that got saved here last week. Husband and wife the week before. If you're watching by way of live stream and you've never been born again, right now, wherever you might be, get on your knees, bow your heart before God, and ask God for forgiveness of sins. It's really that simple. You repent of your sin. You ask Jesus for forgiveness. He's there. He'll hear that prayer. Ask him to be your Savior, your forever Savior. He'll do it right now. Do it in prayer wherever you might be. If you this morning want to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you want to be born again, it's as easy as this. The perfect Son of God so loved the world, so loves you, that he took your place in death on Calvary's tree, on the cross. And if you would receive what Jesus did for you there, you will be born into the kingdom of God, the family of God. It's just simply being sorry for your sin and inviting Jesus in, asking for forgiveness and inviting Jesus into your life. If you would do that right now, right where you're seated, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, just pray like this, not out loud, to God in your heart. Pray these words, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I deserve hell. I'm lost. And I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you right now for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.